Schmodio! Schmodio! Schmodio!
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you live on the unceded and stolen Musqueam territory. My name is Ruby Raven, and you are listening to Schmodio. I am here today with my guest of honor, Kay. Welcome, Kay. Yay!
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. Kay, I'm really excited to have you on. It was a little bit of a last-minute endeavor because the guest who I was supposed to have on actually got canceled. Yeah, he was canceled and had to reschedule because of this controversy. But I have you on, and I'm so happy to have you on. But because this
I'll do my best to stay as wholesome as possible. Let's not get this show canceled.
But because it was a little bit of a last minute endeavor, I don't have an intro prepared for you of like, this is Kay, this is who they are. So I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about yourself, what type of performer you are, and what type of comedy you do.
Yeah, so my name's Kay. I also use the name Kai sometimes, but in performing spaces, I use Kay. My pronouns are she, her, or they, them. I got my start doing spoken word poetry, and I just love to write, and I love to perform. And then over time, I found that poetry was kind of a place where I feel like a lot of the feelings that you get out of poetry are either very, like, hard-hitting or kind of, like, you know... Poetry's just kind of got that feeling where it's
very poignant.
Very poignant.
Yeah.
And I just like hearing people laugh. Like, I just want to bring joy into the world. And so I started doing comedy. I performed last Vancouver Pride. I'm going to be performing this Pride. I've had a couple of gigs. I'm starting to, hopefully in the beginning of starting like a monthly open mic, over at the Park Show Cellar on Davie Street. And yeah, so that's been really fun. As for what my comedy is about, I like to play with perceptions of gender a lot. I am a trans woman myself. Sometimes I say non-binary, but typically doing comedy, I tell people I'm a woman just because, you know, in comedy, being a woman is hard enough. Like, I don't need to make things more complicated. But yeah, I tell people I'm a woman, a trans woman especially, not because they need to hear it, but just because it prepares them, I think, for when I have like a lot of voice range come out and I just do a lot of bits in different voices. So I'll play characters of like, I'm the tough guy character. I'm like, oh my God, hi, babe, how you doing? And, you know, I'll kind of like have conversations with myself in that sort of way. And that's where I like try to create comedy out of, just the fact that gender is weird and perception is weird. And I've kind of got a shapeshifty sort of androgynous moment going that my voice can take people's perceptions in either way. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Thank you so much for introducing yourself, a job that I unfortunately couldn't do today.
All good.
And a reason why I was excited to have you on as well is because a lot of the time I interview comedians who are maybe a bit more established, maybe they're touring or they've been around for a while. But as you said, you've only really been doing this for about a year. And I'm wondering, how does one get into comedy in Vancouver starting out?
I am the worst person to ask this question in the world. How you're supposed, air quotes, supposed to get in comedy is you're supposed to go to a few open mics, get up on stage, test a couple jokes out, get like totally, like just bomb entirely, and then just keep trying, keep getting on stage. Eventually, after a few months, maybe you get like 5 minutes or so, and then you get your name known by a couple of the people, you kind of build a network, and you just keep going on in different places. Once you've got like a tight 5 minutes, you make a demo tape, and then you send that to rooms, and you get booked, and then you start touring. That's like the classical way of how to get into comedy. I did not do any of that. I had friends from my spoken word scene who basically got a gig to, if, like, Vancouver Pride asked them if they wanted to host a just like an event for Vancouver Pride as like a community partner
for spoken word.
Yeah, so it wasn't not really spoken word. It was just it was a trans-centered event, right? And so they were given kind of whatever they wanted to do. And so they asked me if I wanted to perform, and I said, yeah, but I kind of like don't want to really do spoken word anymore. I want to try comedy. I want to do more comedy. So my first like stand-up set, like really ever, I did 12 minutes for Vancouver Pride and got
12 minutes?
Yeah, and got paid for it. Right. So
you got paid.
I went from zero to being like a professional comedian with like a 12-minute set, and the set killed. Like it went really well. And so I kind of skipped all of like the year and a half's work that you're supposed to put in before you get booked and just got straight to being booked. And then through like just some weird coincidence, someone had seen me at an open mic doing again spoken word. And that person was part of UBC Entrepreneurship, right? And so UBC Entrepreneurship was doing a like Entrepreneurship Week. And so they asked me, because they wanted to do some entertainment, they asked me if I wanted to like do some spoken word at UBC Entrepreneurship. And I said, well, actually, I'm doing comedy now. And I said, I'm doing comedy. I've done comedy once, but I said, I'm doing comedy now.
Yeah.
And so they said, oh, well, we could do comedy as well, right? And so I talked with them and I talked to the person hosting it. And she got back to me. She's like, oh, yeah, we would love, like, you seem great. Well, actually, now that we know you're doing entrepreneurial stuff as well, we'll put you on a panel. And yeah, if you want to do comedy, we'll just give you 30 minutes at the end of the show. How's that?
30 minutes?
And because I'm an idiot, I don't know how to say no to things. I was like, yeah, give me 30 minutes.
30 minutes, and you've done one stand-up set.
So my stand-up career went from nothing to 12 minutes
getting
at Vancouver Pride. Getting paid for 12 minutes at Vancouver Pride, and then getting paid to do 30 minutes. Getting paid pretty well, actually, to do 30 minutes at UBC Entrepreneurship. And it actually went really well. They're inviting me back again this year.
Oh my God.
That's why I'm the worst person to ask how to get into stand-up, because my only answer is just like find someone who will put you on stage and then just do it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I've never heard. I've been interviewing comedians for a year now. I have never heard a story like that. So you went from nothing to being paid to getting these gigs.
Yeah. And I still have not gone and performed in any rooms in Vancouver, and I'm starting to produce my own room just like straight up. So I've done it in completely the backwards direction.
Yeah.
Where I have like been booked, been paid, and like I'm hosting my own open mic and like just room on Davie Street. And then once I tape my own demo tape at my own production, then I'm gonna start getting my tape around. So I've done it backwards.
So have you gone to, you said that you did a couple open mics for spoken word. Have you done any open mics for stand-up?
No. Well, not in Vancouver. I went to Montreal a few months ago and I wouldn't call them open mics. I just sort of barged my way on stage in two clubs in Montreal. So I've done more like, I've done more sets in Montreal, like just like randomly, than I have in Vancouver. That one in Montreal was great, because so Montreal, there's a place called St. Henry, and they do on the marketing it said an open mic, right? But I went there and they said it's not actually an open mic. You have to like register and sign up to go on. But I, you know, pestered the host. I was like, give me like 5 minutes. Like, yeah. I promise it'll be good. And she's like, no, I gotta like pack up after this. And I'm like, okay, sat down. Then it was going. I'm like, no. Okay, ask again. Hey, babe, like, you think you'll have time? She's like, oh, maybe. Like, I don't know. We'll see. And I sat back down again. I came up for a third time. Like, hey, babe, can you, like, we're getting close to the end. Do you think we'll have time? And she's like, you know, I just have to pack up after this, and it's going to be a lot, and I'm really tired. And so as I was turning around to go back, I turned around. I was like, wait, if you give me 5 minutes on stage, I will pack up the whole place with you. Like, I will stay back.
Wow.
I will pack up all the chairs. I'll do everything. And she's like, okay, this is a pain in the ass. It's going to be more annoying to say no to her. So she just let me on stage. And it went super well. And after that, I helped pack up, and she was trying to be like, oh, no, it's okay. You actually did well. Like, you don't need to help pack up.
But you did anyway.
But I did, of course. Like, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to pack up and just like...
You're a person of your word.
Exactly.
First of all.
And just talking to her about it, I was looking at her like, you actually want help, though. She's like, oh, yeah, kind of. I don't know why I'm pushing people away that want to help me. I'm like, exactly.
You also helped her have like a breakthrough in like her personal relationships and her attachment style.
Yeah, exactly.
This sounds like a big night for everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you've said, you have had this sort of backwards trajectory into the comedy world. what are your goals? Like, where do you want to go?
My backwards trajectory is also reflective of, like, just I don't really believe in goals. It sounds like a really
I don't necessarily agree, but I'm interested in your opinion on this.
Because I personally believe that goals are very limiting. Because if you limit yourself to having a goal, you're always, like, pushing towards a certain direction, and you're not opening yourself up to see what's going on around you. And so rather than having, like specific goals that I have, I just have, like, broad directions that I'm currently going. Like, I know I want to explore more stand-up. I know I want to get into acting, so I'm investigating, like, looking into different, like, acting coaches and inquiring about, like, what it would look like to get, like, an agent. And there's just, like, a lot of streams of thought that I'm sort of picking at and going towards. But there's no, like, one single, like, I want this, right? Like, mm-hmm. I kind of believe... My favorite quote about this is, like, planning is amazing. Plans are awful because plans always change, right? But planning ahead and having, like, 30 different plans of how your life could go and then just going for it, and then eventually one of them will work out, right? And so that's kind of my approach. I don't have goals. I just kind of go for it, and then whatever happens, happens. And I just, like, for example, like UBC Entrepreneurship, I could never have planned a goal to be like, I want to get a 30-minute set this year. It just landed on my lap, and I just said yes. So that's kind of the way I go through things.
All right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kay, for joining me and for letting me interview you so last minute. Stick around, because Kay and I will be right back with the schmoment part of the show. All right. Now a word from our non-sponsors, people who we just think are great. Here's a word from them.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both. Frock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections is every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
I can't help but recognize the rippling tides that are in your eyes. And for once in my life, I know that this feels right. Time used to move so slowly. Now the flood is carving slippery sense of belonging attached to a feeling.
CITR. My name is Ruby Raven. I'm the host of Shmodio. I'm here with Kay, my guest. Thank you, Kay, for sticking around.
Absolutely.
I just had a wonderful interview with Kay, and now we're going to do the Shmoment.
Yeah.
The crowned jewel of Shmodio. We're flipping the segments around a little bit today. Thank you so much, Kay, for your time. I want to know about a Shmoment of yours. For the listener, a Shmoment is a Shmo moment. A Shmo is a regular person slash fool because it is so average to be a fool and to embarrass yourself. I'm trying to normalize embarrassing yourself, being embarrassing. This is my movement. I am doing this, breaking down the barriers for embarrassing people by sharing Shmoments. So, Kay, I understand that you brought a Shmoment with you today.
I did. It certainly did.
Let's hear it. I'd love to hear it.
This was in 2015. I was a very different person who sounded a lot more like this. But we're not going to sound like that today. I was at a part of my life where I didn't believe in having fun. And including to that, I didn't believe in drinking. And so a lot of my friends at that age, I think I was 18, would drink and things like that. And I would be kind of subtly judgy. I'd be like, ugh. Drinking again. Mm. Oh my gosh, high schooler. So one time I was in Taiwan and I went out. I was there on a summer trip. And so I was out with my class and I just didn't believe alcohol actually did anything. I thought it was all in people's heads. And so I was sitting there. I'm seriously. And so I had it because I hadn't really been drinking before.
How? So you were 18 at this point?
Yeah, I was 19 at this point, I think. Or 18. I don't know. One of the two. And so I was, drinking soju and I was downing bottles of this stuff. And I was like, this is fine. I'm totally good. And then I stood up and I'm like, oh, I'm not totally good. And so I ended up getting put in a cab and going home. And the worst thing is my roommate was there, who's a friend of mine I've had since high school, who knew that I was kind of anti-drinking. And so when I fell through the doorway into the room, I was already in a world of embarrassment of just I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything. He had to come and help me up. I took four steps towards the bathroom, didn't quite make it, and then projectile vomited into the bathtub. This is only the start of the story. It gets we're accelerating still.
I would say the Shmoment began when you said that you didn't believe that alcohol affected people and that it was entirely in their heads.
There are multiple Shmoes in the Shmoment.
Yeah.
So anyway, God bless them. They helped clean up all of that stuff because it wasn't there by the time I woke up the next morning.
Wow.
And so I went to my room. And I took all of my clothes off because I was drunk. I was like, I just need to get everything off. And then I realized I had to wake up in the morning. And I had left my phone, which is my alarm, outside. And I looked on the floor and I was like, okay, if I go down there to pick up my clothes, I will never get back up.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. And so I was debating, what do I do? So I just shouted out to the living room where my friend still was. I was like, babe, I'm naked, but I need my phone. And I'm coming out there. It's just like, what? What are you talking? And then I stormed out naked, grabbed my phone, and went back to my room to set my alarm. But like a very smart person, I didn't go into my room to set the alarm. I stood at the door. and leaned on the door frame, half in my room, ass hanging out of my room, and set my alarm there. And so my friend snapped a picture of just like my ass hanging out the doorway. This was fine for like a week. I didn't know he snapped the picture until a week later to get back at me. He had printed out like 30 copies of this picture and posted them all around the apartment we were sharing. We were sharing this apartment with like two other people who didn't see this happen.
And were so you friends with these other people?
Like kind of, like they sort of knew me, but we weren't like close. And so I walked out one day and just saw like 30 pictures of my ass hanging around all over the apartment. Which I was taking down for like weeks. Like he had hidden a bunch of them, like cut them in different sizes and posted in different places. My dad came to visit like a month later and he found one of them like underneath like a towel rack in the bathroom. And he was like, what's this? I'm like, oh, that's that was a moment. That was a sh-moment. And so, yeah, that's my sh-moment.
What a committed friend. Like, I think that that is such commitment. Also, like, printing stuff costs money. Like,
yeah.
I really appreciate people who a week later do that kind of stuff. And honestly, I was really hoping that's where that story was going. Some kind of giant billboard of your ass, like all over
absolutely.
The apartment.
Like, there's projectile vomit missing the bathtub. There is like hubris. There's a whole Greek myth like in this story.
Oh, right? yeah, it's a Greek tragedy.
It is a Greek tragedy.
Yeah. Well. You lived it. You lived to survive it. Mm. Again, I do have to reiterate my favorite part of that story is in part the printing of the ass all over your house. That is beautiful decor, very classy, very eclectic.
Especially if you've seen my ass.
Like, yeah.
She's got class and ass.
But my absolute favorite part I need to reiterate is the fact that you thought that entire society of people were like alcohol was just placebo. Like they were just like it was inside their head that alcohol had this
effect. The best part is my parents owned a bar. Like that's what my parents' business like growing up. That's why I didn't drink. Like funnily enough, I feel okay, this isn't the case for all things, but in my family, my parents owned like a bar pub but none of us drank. Like it was just not a drinking thing in our family. Yeah. Like we ran a bar for other people to drink.
Yeah.
And so I never drank, and so we never had any like we never had any really experience with alcohol. I'd worked as a bartender and saw people like, you know, because you see people like take like three shots and are fine and take three shots and they're dying. And so part of me was just like, people are just like, what? Like, you know,
right. They're people, just acting it out.
People totally. Are leaning in. And you hear the studies where it's like, oh, people get drunk off of like non-alcoholic beer. And so my skeptical brain was like, I just think people are weird.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though, for you to be, like, so close to something, working at a bar as a bartender, and to not experience it yourself. Of course you're going to, like, make all these rationalizations, especially if someone is, like, a lightweight or a heavyweight or they're out partying with their friends or they're solemnly alone. Like, they're going to behave differently.
Yeah.
So that actually does make a lot of sense now that you've explained that.
Yeah. Also, this is, like, 2015. I have since seen the light that that, yes, indeed, fun is fun. And we should, like, don't go crazy with the alcohol, but, like, have some drinks once in a time with friends.
Yeah.
Not enough to projectile vomit into a bathtub, ideally, but, you know.
Was it really projectile vomit?
It was.
Were you standing up?
I was standing up. Like, I was at the door to the bathtub was, like, 4 feet.
Yeah.
And, like, I was probably at the door, and I feel like at least half of what I got actually into the bathtub. So, like,
wow.
We really got some
good
distance.
Morning, Vancouver. If you're driving to work right now, I hope you're enjoying this story. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that truly beautiful, heartwarming sh-moment. I'm going to share one quickly as well. It also involves alcohol. I was at a party in September, and I saw this girl who I hadn't seen since first year, and we were catching up, and this guy walks up. You know those kind of white guys that are, like, haven't found themselves yet and, like, have, like, a
all
slight...
of them?
Yeah. And have, like, a slight black scent.
Yeah.
Like, so he came up, and he was like, yo, and he started kind of, like, talking to this girl. And, our conversation immediately ended, me and her, and she was sort of flirting with this guy, and I was like, all right, like, I'll go somewhere else now. Like, they're going to have a conversation. And I kind of was trying to leave. And she was like, no. And he was like, no, it's fine. I'm like, oh, no. And I was, when I'm drunk, I kind of lose all ability to, like, engage in the social game. Uh-huh. So I'm just like, no, you guys are flirting now. You guys are talking. He comes up. You guys are talking. I don't want to intrude. And, like, obviously, that makes things so awkward for them. Like, if I'm, like, calling out exactly what the situation is, it, like.
You're just winging for them. You're just, like, calling out, hey,
I'm just like,
fun.
Let's get things moving. So they sort of seem very uncomfortable at me calling out exactly what they're doing, which is like flirting and kind of getting to know each other. So I walk away. Later in the party, he's talking to someone else. And it's this weird house that has all these like weird nooks and crannies. He's standing shoulder to shoulder with this girl and they're like looking directly into each other's eyes. And this is a girl who I like and I want to be friends with. But this guy is pissing me off. So I walk past them and I go, oh, look at you. You were with her over there. Now you're talking to her. Like, losing all ability to just let people kind of play the game of, like, talking to people. And I just, I have to call it out. So I go, oh, look at you. Oh, you're with her. Now you're with her. All these different people you're talking to. And he was kind of like, huh. Like, he's trying to talk up this girl, right? And I, like, immediately realized, oh, shit, like, that was a really weird thing to say. Like, they are very uncomfortable. I'm ruining this moment for them. Especially this girl that I was like, oh, we connected. I wanted to be friends with her. And now I'm, like, being really annoying. And I'm like, okay, I can save this. Like, I can save this in my head. But my friend is right behind me. And she goes, oh, sorry. Like, she doesn't know what she's saying. Come on. And, like, just pushes me away. And I just was so embarrassed. I was like, I cannot believe that I screamed in this man's face about all the girls he was talking to while he was talking to all the girls. And then my friend, to do the pity, like, oh, she doesn't know what she's saying. And just to, like, push me out of the way is just, like, the complete crumble of dignity, a complete punch in the face. And I talked to the girl a little while later and she was like, oh, no, like, we're friends. Like, it was totally fine. I wasn't, like, it was not a weird thing. But for me to just to yell at him about that was a real schmoment. I felt really, really weird about it.
I mean, I think you were just, you know, giving them the opportunity to lean in, right?
Like, right.
They didn't take the opportunity.
They didn't take
that's his failure of his
I'm
game.
I'm trying to like accelerate.
If he can't take the opportunities provided to him, like, you know, hey babe, you gotta get better riz.
I think that's what the kids are saying.
Get better riz.
I think that's what the kids are saying. All right. Well, Kay, thank you so much for coming on Schmodio. I really, really appreciate it. It was so lovely to talk to you. I had such a lovely time learning about your completely backwards trajectory of becoming a stand-up. If you're just tuning in now, you can listen to this episode on CITR.ca.
Wait, can I plug something?
Yeah.
I haven't put the marketing out for it yet, but you can follow me on It's a new K. That's like, it's a new day, but D is replaced
and
with
we'll
K.
And we'll tag you on the Instagram.
Yeah, I'll tag me on Instagram. Yeah. I am hosting an open mic July 19th. And it'll be like queer-centered, lots of like queer trans comedy. I'm trying to create like a better space for just like comedy that really centers queer experience, right?
Yeah.
And it really plays on that. So if you're queer, if you like comedy, or if you're an ally, you want to just like come see because I think we're funny. Yeah.
Where is it?
It's at this place called the Show Cellar. It's at the park on Davie Street, right next to Sunset Beach. Like really, like if you go to Sunset Beach, it's like 5 minutes walk from there.
What was it called?
The Show Cellar.
Show Cellar
on Davie Street.
On Davie Street.
July 19th.
And your Instagram is?
It's a new underscore K-A-Y. Yeah. It's a new underscore K-A-Y. Yeah.
All right. I can't wait for that show. Thank you so much. Go check out It's a new underscore K on Instagram. And yeah, thank you so much. We will be right back with Harmela's interview with a business expert. All right. We'll be right back.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
On s'est vu souvent le visage en personne. Okay, welcome back to Schmodio. I'm a correspondent, Harmela, and this is the Oh Schmo You Don't segment, where we interview some experts in their fields, aka non-schmoes. Today we have on Julie Monroe, local business owner, coming on the show to talk about her very exciting new business. Julie,
hi.
Please, 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 we're dying to know about your brand new business that you've just launched.
Hi, Harmela. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Thank you for being here.
No, I'm really excited. So my new business is called After Dinner Pants. And basically, it is it's for women who or anyone really who after they eat dinner, their pants don't fit as tight as well. They're more tight. And so what we do at After Dinner Pants, which is a business that I founded, is we take their pants that they love and we tailor them. So, you know, some people would say, why don't you just buy a bigger pair of pants if after dinner you're feeling bloated and you're not as comfortable in your pants? But see, that's not right. That's just a bit of a quick fix, because really what the problem is, you buy the pair of pants because they look really good on your legs. They look really good on your butt, that you feel good in them. And if you were to buy a bigger pair, they wouldn't fit your butt and your legs and other parts of your body the same way. But after dinner, maybe, you know, they're not as comfortable anymore. So what we do is we take your favorite pair of pants and we tailor them to fit you in your legs and in your butt the exact same way. But in your stomach, we give them a little bit more give so that after dinner, you can feel comfortable and sexy and you can feel good in your favorite pants. But you can also feel physically comfortable because your pants aren't too tight anymore, you know?
Oh, my God. Julie.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That is genius.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people have this problem and it's really not talked about enough. And personally, I just always felt really overlooked in this area. And I just wanted people to feel comfortable in their pants because, you know, breakfast, I feel good in these pants. You know, dinner, or lunch, so good. But after 5 p.m., I'm hurting in my stomach. And maybe I want to go out dancing. Maybe I want to be out all night walking around with my friends. But if I have a stomach ache or I need to unbutton my pants, then I'm not feeling good physically. If you're not feeling good physically, you're not going to feel good mentally, right? So it's really about helping women feel good in their bodies.
Oh my God. So this is like, this is the way, essentially.
Yes.
Because even right now, I just had some breakfast and my stomach right now is, it's not feeling too good.
Right.
So my question for you, Julie, is was there a specific moment in your life where you went, if I had after dinner pants, my life would actually be a lot better?
Oh my God. Thank you for asking. Yes, I do have an origin story like a lot of superheroes. Not that I'm calling myself a superhero in any way, but I like to use the term origin story. So basically, my father used to be the Prime Minister of Canada. And I was sitting at a minister's dinner. And they wanted me to give a speech, right? And my father was up for re-election, and the speech was really important, right? And I was wearing my favorite pants. They were these black pants. At the time, it was the early 2000s, so they were a little more low-waisted. I really liked how I felt in them. I felt really confident in them. But as soon as I ate the chicken dinner that they gave me at this banquet, I started to feel really, you know, really bloated and uncomfortable in my skin because my pants were hurting and I got a stomach ache, you know? And I went up there to give that speech, the speech that was so important, the speech that was going to get him reelected. And I just totally blew it, you know? And I was in a bad mood because my stomach was hurting and I ended up kind of saying some things about him that weren't super positive. And
what did you say?
I just said, you know, like, he doesn't like Seinfeld, you know, and there were a lot of middle-aged men there, and they didn't like that so much. So anyways, he accused me later of slandering him at this banquet. But if I had been comfortable in my pants, I would have been able to go up and I would have been able to say, you know, my father should be reelected. But unfortunately, that is not what happened. And he's never been the same since. So after that, I thought, you know what? This is taking a toll. This is taking a toll on people, you know, because my dad would have been reelected if only I hadn't been so uncomfortable in my pants. Yeah. So I just thought, you know, If I can help other women feel comfortable in their pants and have proper after-dinner pants that they feel good in, then maybe the world would not be in so much chaos. And, you know, people's lives could go where they wanted them to go.
Mm. Oh, my God. Thank you. What an origin story.
Yeah, it makes me a little bit emotional to talk about. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cry.
You are a superhero in my eyes.
Come on.
That is all I have to say.
Could you tell my dad that? Because he's still really, really mad at me, but...
Oh, well, So, Julie, I imagine with your business model that you're getting swamped with people's pants all day long. Are you the one making all of these after-dinner pants?
Well, at first, you know, like a lot of small business owners, I was the only seamstress, you know, working late hours and all of that. Well, but now I have a lot of other seamstresses who work with me because the business has been such a success. So many people have responded to this after-dinner pants where we create exact replicas of their favorite pants, but with a bit more give in the tummy, right? So... What people do is they come in at after dinner, right? So my hours of operation are a little weird. They come in, we're open from 6 to midnight, and people make appointments. There are 15-minute appointments. They come in, they bring their favorite pants. They put them on. We measure them. We see what fabric they're made out of. And then we spend the rest of the daytime, tailoring all these pants. But our business is open to the public from 6 to 12 because we need to measure people after they eat dinner, right? The whole point of these pants is that they're pants for after dinner, and we need to make sure that they fit people after dinner. So, but we have over 10 seamstresses who work with us, so we're able to have a lot of different people come in and you know, tailor their pants and make sure that we're gonna get them the pants that they need.
Oh, my goodness. Again... This is God's work, Julie, that you're doing
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Revolutionary.
Thank you.
Now, I know it's called after dinner pants, but what about skirts or shorts? Essentially any kind of bottom that can't be classified as pants.
This is a really great question. I'm so glad you brought this up because this is a question that we've been getting a lot recently. And I think, at first it was pants because a lot of women's fashion is more form-fitting and, tighter around the stomach area. But it's true that there are shorts and skirts that are also that way. So next year in 2024, we are going to launch... skirts and shorts and all other bottoms, tailoring those. But right now, we've just got so many orders flooded in for pants. But yeah, I can see you're really excited.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, we are going to be launching that in 2024 because we have had so many requests for people's favorite skirts in particular, shorts a little bit less, but still, we're going to be open to all bottoms. Yes.
Well, we're going to be lining up outside your door.
Come on.
Oh my goodness. Julie, do you like your job?
Wow. You know, it's funny. People don't ask me that, but my immediate response is just, I love my job. I feel like I love what I do. I love connecting with the client. I love, you know, helping people feel more comfortable in their skin, in their clothes, and hearing everyone's story. People come in and they say, you know, I have IBS I just like to eat more after dinner. And so you hear people's stories a lot more and you get to help them just feel more comfortable. So I love what I do. I love the business side of it too. And I feel really lucky. I think if you can spend your life helping others, then it's a life well spent.
Julie, I mean, I'm sitting here inspired. I know everybody at home is sitting down inspired listening to you right now. My goodness. My last question for you is, me personally, I like to eat a big breakfast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking 4-course meal. Mm-hmm. What about after breakfast? What do I do if I'm not needing the pants after dinner? But only after breakfast.
I mean, I think in that case, you can wear them at all times of the day.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. And I think that is a really, it's a misconception about after dinner pants. I think it is in the marketing that they're only for after dinner. But it doesn't mean that you can't wear them after lunch or maybe you just wear them all the time because your favorite pants are not made for a person's body properly, you know what I mean? So you know, they're really for any time of the day. And I would encourage people not to constrain themselves in any way to when the pants can be worn. But I'm again, thank you so much for asking, because this is a really common question, especially on our Instagram page. People are constantly asking us, can I wear this in the morning? Can I wear this, you know, in the afternoon? And the answer is, of course, yes.
Okay. I know I said that was my last question. Oh. But I have to ask another one before you leave, mm-hmm. while I've got you here. Mm-hmm. What's been the craziest sort of after-dinner client that you've had come into the shop so far?
Oh, my God. Well,
I imagine.
One time, we did have a very famous person. I don't want to give their name away, but
you
will say their name is rhymes with Pariah Frame.
Oh.
Yes. A Canadian icon. And she did come in and she did request some after dinner pants, which was very exciting. But in terms of crazy stories, one time I did have someone come in and say that they needed their after dinner pants because they were going to go to space. And
oh.
Yeah, they were going to go to space. Yeah, it was this crazy story. So basically, they were an astronaut.
Yeah.
And they said they were really sad to leave their child. And their child said, you know, mommy, all I want is your favorite pair of pants. All I want is your pants to remember you by while you're in space, your favorite pair of jeans. And she was like, well, those are my favorite pair of jeans. And even if I can't wear them in space, I want to be able to, you know, have them with me to look at and to cuddle. Because so she came in and she said, can you please make me after dinner pants, an exact replica of these pants, so that one can be for my child while I'm gone in space and one can be for me to remind me of planet Earth and the jeans that we wear here. And so that was a really cool story, because it really is about, you know, oh, maybe your favorite pants aren't even for wearing, you know, they're just for looking at, or for comforting you, for drying your tears while mommy's away. So that was just a very eye-opening and a story that I like to tell to a lot of customers, because, you know, you don't have to wear after-dinner pants. I mean, while that is their purpose, you know, pants have lots of different purposes in this world, and this astronaut really taught me that.
Wow.
Yeah.
After-dinner brings families closer together.
Yes. Exactly.
Essentially, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for understanding, Carmela. And thank you so much for having me on Shmodio today.
Oh, my goodness. It's been an absolute pleasure and honor.
Thank you.
Everyone, cop your after-dinner pants online or in stores.
Yes.
To see Julie herself. My goodness, yeah. Julie Monroe, an icon of this century. Well, that is all our time here today.
Thank you so much. And good luck, Carmela. And please come in for a complimentary pair of after-dinner pants.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
Fucking time, we're going tonight, see you by me, on board.
you so much for listening to Shmodio. My name is Ruby Raven. This was, as I said, Shmodio. Thank you to Kay for their fantastic interview. And thank you to my correspondent, Harmela, for that fantastic interview with Julie Monroe. So interesting. I can't wait. I didn't even know that that business existed, After Dinner Pants. So I'm really excited to check that out. Thank you so much for listening. I hope if you're driving to lunch right now, you're going to eat something really delicious, really nourishing, maybe a bowl of chili, maybe some cornbread, whatever it is. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language. Recognize